The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, this is Sam Smith, and I have a special surprise for you. Well, maybe not. I've got Bill Wennington, three-time NBA champion. Is that correct, Bill?
Yes.
With me as my first guest for my podcast. Now, Bill's my first guest because nobody else would do the podcast with me. And I found Bill and almost wrestled him to the ground because he's not in as great shape as he used to be. So we're back from the Bulls circus trip, which turned out to be a zoo, as it turned out. I used that line in one of my stories. Went over just as well. So it's Miami Heat week in Chicago, which is usually a time for excitement. Heat coming, not probably as much this time. You may have heard or read somewhere that Derrick Rose was injured in the Portland game at the beginning of the trip. We're going to be out for the season, and so somewhat of a setback. I'm going to get to Bill here in a second. He's getting tired already of listening to me, and so I don't know if you guys can hold on a little longer. Miami is playing. In fact, I should ask him that a little bit. Yeah, I mean, Bill played on teams that won 72 games, 69 games, 62. It strikes me that Miami is kind of understand how great they are and is just sort of putting it in, not necessarily neutral, putting it in a point where they're gonna know that the postseason is way more important. Just win enough games. And it strikes me, at least after your 72 win season, even though you guys won so many games, You sort of played that way with the view that, look, we know how good we are. We're going to pace ourselves to a certain extent and be ready for the playoffs. Are you guys facing, do you see Miami doing what you guys did in the late 90s?
Well, absolutely. I mean, they're going around. Dwayne Wade's been sitting out games. He's not playing a whole lot. And they're still winning games. I mean, after all, they're in the Eastern Conference right now. They got two losses mm-hmm. in the Eastern Conference, second best team. And all purposes, it looks like they're coasting. And just going through the motions. And everyone knows it doesn't matter, really. And we had the saying, 72 and 10 don't mean a thing without the ring.
That was yours. You came up with that, right?
No, that was Ron Harper, one of his people. One of his peeps got it. So, but it doesn't matter. If your goal is to win a championship, then that's what you have to do. It doesn't matter how well or how poorly you do in a regular season. Get to the playoffs and start playing well. And you see a lot of coaches gear their teams that way so that they hit stride coming down the end of April, so they're playing their best basketball going into the playoffs.
I got to say, I'm impressed with them. I think they're terrific. I think LeBron, by far, to me, as great as Durant has come out, is the best player in the league. I know he's got a little back problem. I mean, that said, I still think the Bulls will play well in this game, have a chance to beat him. You know, I know people are disappointed without seeing him with Derek going in. Charlotte gave him a heck of a game the other day. Miami was up 7, and it's a much better Charlotte team, and it will be a better Charlotte team. With Steve Clifford coaching, sort of a Tibbs light kind of guy. So I think it's still going to be a good game, even, with not the buildup. And the fact that Miami will play, I think their offensive and defensive systems are great because they don't have great talent, but they really defend well, they move the ball, and they've got the best player in the league. I still think they're the favorite. How good do you think they are?
I think they're the best team in the league right now, and they play well, and they're proving it. LeBron James is playing. I was an old LeBron fan. I liked him. I thought mm-hmm. he was a good player, but he's every day proving to me that he's more and more an upper echelon and the best player in the league right now. And Dwayne Wade, when he's out on the floor, he can still get it done. Now, is he going to be out on the floor every day, 40 minutes a game? No, he's not. He's going to take his time and try to stay healthy. I think their bigs, Haslam and Bosch, do an adequate job out there. They can score. They'll both rebound. They can be physical. Birdman's
isn't
out there.
That why a lot of us thought they were vulnerable this year? I mean, because you look at that roster, like you say, Wade is not the player he was. Maybe for injury problems, not great bigs. And that's why we thought Chicago would have a shot, Indiana, and any number of teams in the West.
I think teams that have bigs that are playing well match up better against him, can get things going inside and maybe create some problems for him. I mean, Birdman only has six fouls, and then they got to go somewhere else and do something else. But I think they could play around that if they get their guys, Chalmers, hitting three-point shots on the outside and to get him going. Then they got another weapon that they could use. But defensively, they got guys that can really lock down and key down on, and they recover very much the way that Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan used to do. And they get down and help out a little bit down in the low post against a big guy like Hibbert, or as we saw just the other day, Andrew Bynum played well, doubling down on those guys and then having the ability to get back out to shooters on the outside is something that I haven't seen anyone do as well as Michael and Scottie. But LeBron is right there with them. So he
traded that.
And he can really do that. So that helps out in that respect. If their bigs aren't doing as well or can't hold their own down low, he's one of the guys that I think really can double down and get back to his own without having a all-scale rotation where he had four guys rotating around trying to get out to a shooter on the opposite corner.
Now, I'll just, you know, early on, I look at the schedule, and I think, you know, TNT, big game, and I still think it'll be a well-contested game. The end of the week, Detroit Bulls had, you know, I think people overlooked how well Detroit was playing in that first half, the way the Bulls pulled away in the second half. And they kind of went away from Drummond and apparently realized that. And when he had 31-19 on Sunday.
Right.
So it's Detroit on Sunday back here. Perhaps they learned their lesson. How good is that Detroit team with Drummond, with Monroe, with Josh Smith? They've got a lot of players. They should be better, don't you think?
They're better than they think they are. And I think that's the problem right now. They have to understand how good they are and how good they can be if they stay together and play together. Smith can be a great scorer, but he's got to be an aggressive scorer. He can't be passive and just sit on the outside and just want to shoot all the time. And he's also going to have to at times keep the bigs involved, because as a big guy, you don't get the ball 10 times in a row. You kind of start to get, oh, well, I'm not really here. And your mind starts to wander. The air's a little thinner up here, so we tend to do that a little bit.
Not if you went to St. John's, right?
Well, then it's a lot thinner. But you got to keep the bigs involved. And and as long as they keep that balance, I think they're very good. They can challenge a lot of teams. And you're right. In the first half, they played well, and it was tough, but they just fell apart. In the second half, stopped playing together, and it became a one-on-one. Whoever had the ball was going to shoot the ball, and Bulls defense just jumped up, and they didn't let them rebound it and took care of business.
Right. And so, that's really, you know, we've talked about that. That's really what the Bulls now without Derek for the rest of the season. And we'll get into that in a little bit about where to go for the team. But, you know, looking back on the trip and sort of looking ahead in the sense of how they win games, that probably Detroit game was a blueprint for that. You're going to have to defend really well. You're going to have to rebound every game. And there's so little margin for error, which we saw against Cleveland. A couple errors at the end of the game made the difference. Just looking back, obviously, it was a hangover after Derek got hurt and the Clippers. They sort of came out of it in Utah, played a really good game coming back in Detroit. Played well in Cleveland. You know, Bynum was just too much, as it turned out. He was really good. Going forward now, how do you think this team would play? How do you think they should play? Where do they fit in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think they still fit in high in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, everyone's thinking 1, 2, or 3. I think maybe it's 4, right around that 3-4 area. Because, who's playing well in the Eastern Conference? New York is not playing well. All the teams everyone thought was going to do well, Brooklyn, New York, are down at the bottom.
And Pierce now out.
Yeah. So I think the Bulls are going to be in the same place, and they can play well. And we know their defense is better. And I'm willing to throw the first two games after Portland out. That was mentally draining for everyone. I mean, it was just disheartening to have Derek go down and then to find out that he was going to be gone all year. I'm even willing to spit out the Utah game is just mentally not able to focus.
Fourth and five nights also.
Right. And that was a question mark game for me anyway, with the fourth and five nights to start with. But to add the Derek news onto it, it was tough. And as it was a good game and had our chances and just couldn't get it done at the end. Detroit, I thought, we turned things around. And turning it around, Snell played well, and we played well as a team. And even so, Joakim Noah didn't play well in the first half, but he played very well in the second half. And I give a lot of credit to Luol Deng, because Luol got him going, got him 2 dunks at the basket, and that picks up Joe's energy. And we know Joe's all about his energy. And if he's energetic offensively and defensively, I mean, that's when he's at his best. So I thought that was the turnaround game, get ready to go. We came out a little sloppy in Cleveland, and then Bynum enforced his will. And then in the third quarter, he just started blocking shots, and then we became timid going to the basket and couldn't get there. And it ended up being a battle, and we had our chances to win at the end. It didn't go. And Chuck and I talked about that on the radio. You know, every team in the NBA, no matter how good, no how bad, you give them a chance at the end to make a shot or do something well, they'll do it. Every guy in the NBA was a star in college. Every now and then, if you give them a chance or they think they have a chance, they'll remember that.
Right.
But unfortunately for the Bulls, it didn't work out. But that is kind of the way we can play. We're a very good defensive team. The system that they play in is very good. They just have to be alert and be thinking ahead of the ball to get their rotations on time out in the corners. And that's where we've run into problems with teams that pass the ball well and get hot from behind a three-point line.
Now, you mentioned also about the radio broadcast, which is a terrific broadcast. And I've learned privately now that Neil and Stacy now are starting to listen to the radio broadcast during their game to try and keep up as well.
Is that what those pauses are?
That's very impressive for you guys. And obviously the issue, you know, the issue in the community is, and you know, I'll just say where I am on this. Let's blow up the team. Let's take, you know, there's this notion, and I think the Bulls are held to this standard more than other teams in Chicago. You know, if we're not playing for a championship, what's the point? You know, that would be why exactly has anybody watched the Cubs in the last, you know, 80 or 90 or 100 years? Why has anybody watched the Bears? You know, as great as the Bears were that one season, if not for Ditka, they would have won 4 or 5 titles. And that's another whole issue. I could discuss that on my football podcast about what a bad coach he was. But that said, you know, there's still a lot to play for. And the other point is, you know, there's the notion in the community, let's blow up the team, let's break up the team. In the middle of the season, I think what's hard to understand for a lot of people is you just can't do this. I mean, just put yourself in a position of, say, the Bulls, Derek is fine and the Bulls are playing well, and say that the Knicks have Tyson Chandler gets hurt, or the Nets, Deron Williams is out, and say he's not going to come back, and who even knows with his ankle. You know, if they want to blow up the team now, are Bulls going to make deals with them? No, once you have your chemistry, once you have your season, you know, your team on the way, you're not looking to make moves. So there really isn't very much you can do because there's not a very lot of teams that want to deal with you. Some of the teams that are bad, Sacramento, Utah, Philadelphia, Orlando, whatever, you know, they're fine being like that. They're going to be in the draft. They're changing over to young players. So they don't want your better players, you know, being Dang, Noah, whoever you're talking about. And the other part is, you know, the NBA is different from like baseball. Baseball, you can make moves because of the lack of a salary cap. You have to match salaries. So say, you know, Deng's name always comes up because he's a free agent after this season. That's $14 million in salary. So you got to take back $14 million salary, and he's going to be a free agent. He's a valuable player. He's playing terrific. And I think he could be the best free agent this summer because, you know, Kobe's now re-signed. I think LeBron's going to stay in Miami. Paul George is now re-signed. Carmelo at 30, you know, you're going to give a big deal in the Lakers? I don't think so. I wrote about it a little bit in my Monday NBA notes. I think the Lakers, with the Kobe signing, are all about Kevin Durant or Kevin Love 2 years from now. So you get Kobe now, maybe Paul Pierce next season. He'll be a free agent. I could see him going back to L.A., sign in for short money, you know, playing off the bench in L.A., you know, sort of piecing together a team. Maybe even Bynum goes back to L.A. now. If he's playing like that, Kobe always liked him better than Howard. So I think the point is, you know, it's nice to say, and then with this draft coming up, 2014, it's going to be a great draft. You know, I think maybe it's a little overbuilt, but overhyped, but still it's going to be good. You're not getting picks like that. So here as a player, you know, when it's brought to you, now my personal opinion is every season is worth playing, and every season can be something special. When you as a player, you know, you played for some historically bad teams at Sacramento, other places like that. Certainly not your fault.
I thought I erased those from my memory. Thanks for bringing them up.
Dallas. But that was the unfortunate about and that was the other point about being a lottery, your lottery pick. You know, you go to a bad team. It's hard to build out of that. You know, it takes a lot of years. I think it delivers a bad message for your franchise. It delivers a bad message to your community for saying, we're going to give up. When you're a player on that team and you hear tanking, what do players think when fans and media start talking about that?
Well, tanking's not in anyone's DNA. If you're asking me to throw games or not play my best, that I've never ever been told that in my life, at any level. And as an athlete, you aren't told that. You can't do that because. And then, in my opinion, once a coach says, "Okay, you don't have to play so hard tonight. You know, go out there and just go out there and do what you got to do, but don't worry about it." That becomes okay. And then what happens when I'm having a bad game? Now, what does the coach say? Now, that coach is going to say to me, you know, you got to play hard. You got to do it. It's like you're telling me two different stories. You got to be consistent with your message. And you can't, I, as an athlete, you can't go out and hear two different messages coming from one person or from an organization. You got to go out there and play hard all the time. So, and I don't
get insulted, you know, in a community when, or media talk about that, the, hey, we're tanking now, we're going for draft picks. You're out there playing, you're out there. I mean, it's your career. I mean, if you do poorly, it's going to reflect on you, right?
Yes. And I've been on a team in Sacramento where we won 25 games the whole year, one road game the whole year.
Right.
And it's embarrassing. And there was not one player in the locker room that was happy with that. And we weren't tanking. We weren't trying to tank. It was, we just didn't play well together and couldn't get things going and couldn't win on the road at all. And not very much at home for that matter. But I don't like to hear that as an athlete, as a player. No one's ever told me to go out there and not try hard. I don't go out there and not try hard in the driveway with my kid. And it's just...
Who's winning those games?
I am, because psychologically I just wear them out. I don't let them think about the game. I ask them about other stuff.
And we know your kid, your son, Robbie's a good athlete at Boston College.
Yes. He beats me now. Now. But
and he was playing football there.
And he played football at Boston College for a year, yes. So, but it's tough. And as an athlete, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear, take it easy. You don't play too hard tonight, or you know, pass the ball. You don't have to shoot tonight. And that's not something anyone wants to hear. So the whole assumption of throwing games or tanking is foreign to players. There's not any players that I know that would agree to that and willingly just go out there and say, okay.
What if you're on a team, you know, and you're, if you're a free agent looking forward, and you see a management that's willing to do that, they sort of give up on its team, give up on its players. Does that reflect badly, you know, on it, when guys, players are looking toward where they want to play, if a management, you know, sort of, you know, gives up on its players like that and starts looking like a stump? Because I remember very distinctly when Michael came back from his injury in 1986, and it looked, he thought, the Bulls, I didn't believe the Bulls were doing it, but he thought they were not wanting to bring him back so they could lose and get into the lottery. And he said, I don't want to be part of an organization that's not about winning every game.
Right.
The players notice those things.
Well, players want to go to winning organizations. I mean, there's two things that motivate a player: money and winning. And the third might be on top of that is playing time. If a player thinks that he has an opportunity to play more in a certain team to increase his value, that might be persuasive to him. So if you think that you're going to an organization or a team that's not trying to win, then basically they're not trying to make you look good. And no one wants to do that.
Mm-hmm. You've been one of the other points now, looking ahead. Obviously, Derek's absence is key, but also, you know, it sort of goes overlooked. Jimmy Butler also. So you basically lose your whole backcourt. So obviously that'll help when Jimmy Butler comes back. But one of the positives is they've gotten some time for Tony Snell early on. What do you see as him so far as a player? I see him, frankly, when Jimmy comes back, being a really good addition off the bench, you know, with Taj, and giving the bench some strength again with Mike Dunleavy and putting him maybe in a better position to be a spot-up shooter rather than having to do some stuff. How about Snell? I know it's a small sample so far.
I really like what I've seen. I like how he's come into his own. You're starting to wonder about him because he wasn't playing so much, and he has what I call like a Sam Perkins demeanor. He just is always just consistent.
That's good.
Doesn't look like he's get too excited, never looks like he's too depressed. He's just kind of steady and almost nonchalant type attitude. But he comes out and he's playing. He's been given an opportunity, and I think he's done terrific. His defense, he's shown signs in defensively that he does a good job. He's willing to try and stick his nose in. But now with his shooting, he's really sparked the team, and he's part of the reason why I think in Detroit the team turned around and jumped around. He hit a couple of shots, and all of a sudden the energy picked up, and he got things going, and he continued that in Cleveland. So I like him a lot. When Jimmy comes back, I put Jimmy back in the starting lineup and bring him off the bench, and he can be that spark on the bench to get your scoring going, to pick things up, to change the flow of the game.
Now, one of the things, you know, you're with the team all the time, you're traveling. You're on the planes. I know from everyone's told me that you give up your meal all the time to the players, you know, as the ultimate unselfish guy. You know, it was tough, obviously, coming out of Portland, you know, the hangover with Derek's injury. Look, you know, what have you seen now coming out of Detroit, coming out of Cleveland, now to finally going to get some home? And that's another thing overlooked. Even with Derek, playing 500 wouldn't have been unusual in the first month with all the road games. going to play 9 out of 15 at home in December and January before the big trip, you know, in February starts again with the Ice Capades trip. What's the mood of these guys? What's the attitude of these guys now? It seemed to me Joe's been hurt, you know, been emotionally hurt the most. And it makes sense. He's a really emotional guy, yes. Up and down. His emotion, you know, and the fact that maybe a championship is not as possible as it was before and as close as he was to Derek. How do you see these guys, you know, now emotionally been able to deal with this season?
Well, I think that most of them, and I think even Joe now, has kind of gone past the Derek's not with us now. So now we got to figure this out. And that was a big blow. And you can see it in everyone's demeanor on the floor. And Joe, who thrives off his passion and energy, really needs that. And he was just so down about Derek. It affected his play the most. But I think we've gone over that. And once that is gone, this team will play on an instinct again. And its instincts is hard basketball. They won't give up. Offensively, they'll struggle at times, but their defense will keep them in every game. So, and it's just a matter of if they can find that one or two guys. And Tony Snell seems to be the guy now stepping up. And Lou Aldang is getting his game back together and being much more consistent. You know, we got the, and Carlos Boozer was playing terrific, but has dropped off a little bit as of late. But you've got three guys offensively now that can score some points for you. And your defense is going to be consistent because these guys will play, as I said, instinctively, they're hard workers. And they work hard, and they play well together.
One last thing. Matt Marino, our tech guy, has come in, and he's signaling me that I've spoken too much already. But I have one more thing I have to ask you. The notion is, see, I think Derek's going to come back and be great. I think, you know, he's obviously, his left leg is healed from the ACL, and we saw that.
Yes.
You know, the right, did you have a meniscus?
No.
Okay. But basically everybody else who's played NBA has had a meniscus. You know, Dwayne Wade had it in college. I was talking to Eddie Pickney had it. Adrian Griffin had it. Westbrook, you saw, just come back after 6 or 7 months. The bad news, obviously, is Derek had it. He's going to miss the season. Good news is it's that, you know, and it's a meniscus where all these guys come back and don't lose anything. I think the other point is you have to bring a strong team back. I mean, this is not an experimental future. Derek, I think, is going to be great. And the notion is, well, we can't trust Derek. I say that's not, I don't believe that's the case. I believe you got to go forward. You've got a former league MVP, a high-level player. You got to put a team around him and believe that he's going to come back and be that player. Is that where you see the Bulls going as far as next season?
I think so. I'm not willing to give up on Derek. I think he's a tremendous talent. And everyone's saying, oh, he's always hurt. He's not always hurt. He's been hurt the last 2 years he's played. He's been hurt.
And guys, you've played in years when guys have been hurt. Bernard King missed a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Ilgauskas was who you thought would never play. Grant Hill missed almost four seasons.
So, I mean, I have faith in Derek. And I don't believe anyone that says, oh, we should give up on Derek is drinking the wrong Kool-Aid. And what are you going to, and how do you replace that anyway? You can't. So you go forward, you build the team around him like you've been doing, try and do your best to keep players here and get players to come in and fill around him, and absolutely right, move forward.
Bill, I want to thank you for being here. You've been the best guest in the history of this podcast. The fact that you're the first guest in the history of this podcast, I'm not judging that against. But you're right at the top, and people are going to have to measure what they do against you.
There's only one way to go from here. And that's up.
Up, yeah. I won't pause. Thanks again, and I'll be back next week. And if I'm fortunate enough to find Bill sitting around doing nothing, I'll have him on the podcast again. Anyway, thanks.